Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Steve.
Oh, that was a hearty good morning. Very good. Very good. So, today I'm going to be talking about godly eyesight. Ooh. Right, okay. So kind of seeing into the spiritual realm. I'm sure if we're people of faith, and even if you're not, there is a spiritual realm that is around about us. There is more to life than what we can see. I mean, the very air that we're breathing, we can't see it, but we know it's there, and it's good to breathe it in. Yeah, and we need the wind and all those other things that we can't see that are all around us. But yeah, there is a spiritual realm that is an absolute, complete and utter reality that is as sure as this thing in front of me. And you can't get it from Vision Express. You can't get godly eyesight from Vision Express or even by laser eye treatment. So, should not have gone to Specsavers. Okay. You can have godly eyesight, even if you're the most short-sighted person in the world. All right, or you've got cataracts the size of ice hockey pucks. Or if you're as blind as a bat, you can still have spiritual eyesight. There was a famous story of the Hebridean revival. And Duncan Campbell, he was the evangelist that was the main kind of preacher for the Hebridean revival. And there was a couple of elderly sisters who used to pray, and they were both infirm, and one of them was blind, and she was talking to him the one time, and he said something that caused her to say, "Oh God, open his eyes, open his eyes." Do you know what I mean? Because she had spiritual insight. She'd seen from God that God was going to do something massive, a massive revival in that place that has been famously written down. You can even look it up on the jolly internet if you want, and find out all the things that God did during the Scottish Hebridean Islands revival, and the two sisters there, Peggy was the blind one, she was the one who prayed that. Okay, so it's something totally separate from physical eyesight. I'm sure you know that already, but way back in the Old Testament times, the prophets, they were called, what were they called? Anybody know? Seers, that's right, Rita. Top of the class. 1 Samuel 9:9 explains that to you very nicely. They were called seers, and here's a Hebrew word for you. I'm going to have a go at pronouncing it. Roeh. R-O-E-H. All right, and that means to see, to perceive, appear, discern, look, and stare. There you go. There's a bit of Hebrew for you. All right, so we're going to fast forward from Samuel's time now, 240 years to about 860 BC-ish. And Elisha, he is now the top prophet in the land. Okay? He has taken over from Elijah. So he's got Elijah's job because Elijah's passed on his anointing to him, his gifting to him. Because Elijah has been whizzed up to heaven in a whirlwind. How cool is that? He's one of two people that actually made it into heaven in his physical body without dying, latterly joined by Jesus, of course. But for the rest of us, I'm afraid the body just isn't going to make it into heaven. And we're going to put up our first scripture now. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, and this is what it says. This is St. Paul writing, what I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit that which will last forever, or cannot inherit what will last forever. Okay, so our bodies just aren't going to make it, because, you know, these are the things that, unfortunately, all of us have sinned in, and there ain't no sin can get into heaven, all right? So we're going to have to ditch the body, I'm afraid, and we're going to get there, no doubt about it, but there's no salvation for our flesh. It dies, all right? Our spirit and our soul live on, And if you're an unrepentant soul, then that also lives on in a place called hell, the eternal punishment that is set up for the devil and for his angels. And when Christ returns and he judges the living and the dead, the unrepentant, therefore, if someone doesn't repent, they're not forgiven. That soul and the resurrected body that they get is condemned to hell. It's a harsh truth, and that's why we preach the gospel. That's why we tell people Jesus came to save you. You know, there's an eternity that is lost for those who refuse the free gift of God's mercy and of his grace. And that is just foolishness, isn't it? Why would people refuse the forgiveness of Jesus? It's because they love evil rather than loving good, the Bible tells us. But thank God, all of us who called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. All right, we're free to receive God's mercy, and our spirit and our soul live on. So absent from the body is present with the Lord, the Bible says. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And when the Lord comes back again, our body is going to get that super upgrade. We get a new bod. How good is that? All right, it's like Jesus' glorified body. I don't know where, you know, just looking around, you might have an absolute gymtastic body, all right? You might be that gorgeous that you think, surely God has given me advance. He's given me an advance on my glorified body, you know, and surely I must have the resurrection body here on earth. But give it a little bit of time, that's all I'm saying to you. And you're going to find out that maybe that body isn't quite as super as you thought it was. Okay. You know, you get a little bit wrinkly. You can get a little bit gray and get a little bit saggy. Make sure that you don't look at the person next to you. Okay. All right. Even this young, athletic-looking body that you see in front of you has lost some of its pace on the football pitch, I'm sad to say. Never mind. Okay, saying that, I am into God keeping you young. He renews your youth, doesn't he, yeah? He renews your youth. Moses, 120. He didn't have bad eyes. He didn't need to go to Specsavers either. And he didn't need a cane when he was walking, the Bible tells us. How good is that? There was a guy who was dwelling in the presence of God. And I believe the presence of God kept him young, kept him strong. Abraham, he was 100 plus. And still doing the wild thing. There's something to believe for, fellas, isn't it? Come on, ladies, don't be rebuking me now, all right? There's something to believe for, all right? So, the believer gets the best of both worlds. Health and healing in this life. And a Superman plus bod in the next life that is to come. How good is that? But the truth is, hey, we all get older. We all get older, but that means we're getting nearer to heaven, and that's a good thing. Okay, the Bible tells us physical training is good, but godliness is even better. You can find that in 1 Timothy 4:8. Okay, but God speaks into our spirits. Okay, that's the way God communicates. When you become a Christian, your spirit inside of you becomes alive, and then God speaks to your spirit, and your spirit informs your body and soul. Okay. So the Bible tells us that our spirit life should always be the top priority in our life. When it talks about body, soul, and spirit, it doesn't put it in that order. It says spirit, soul, and body. So spirit always comes first in God's priorities. All right. Okay, so what I'm saying is don't put your trust in what you can see and sense in the physical realm. There's a greater realm that is going on all around us. There is more to this life than meets the physical eye. Okay. God is doing stuff that the eye cannot see. And, when we pray, believing prayers, things start to happen. There's a spiritual chain of events that has an impact even on the physical world. Do you believe that? Good, because it's the truth. All right. God wants to make our body serve the spirit that's inside of us, if that makes sense to you, and not the other way around, because we do have a choice. God always gives us a choice, that thing called free will that God has given us, and even as Christians, God gives us a choice. See, our flesh life naturally opposes serving God, because we want nice, comfortable things, lovely things that are going to please our flesh, and sometimes even sinful things. You kind of desire those things, but your spirit inside of you can rise up and override that every time. So imagine your life is like a horse and cart, okay? God wants your spirit to be the horse that leads your flesh or your body behind it. Does that make sense? And if you put the cart in front of the horse, well, then it's going to get a little bit messy and a little bit difficult, isn't it? Okay, so the spirit, you can't be led by the spirit when the cart is in front of the horse. It needs to be the other way around. Okay, so God wants our spiritual eyes open. Open your eyes. Okay, all right. And I'm convinced it's available for each one of us who've been filled with the Spirit. Okay, and if you're not filled with the Spirit yet, God wants you to be. And he can soon sort that out for you. Okay, you can see us at the end if you want to be filled with the Spirit. You're saying, well, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Talk to somebody afterwards. And we'd be happy to explain what it means when God says, be filled with the Spirit. You know, when God talks, he always kind of talks in commands. He does it nicely, but he always talks in commands. He says, be filled with the Spirit. That means he wants us to be filled with the Spirit, okay? Different from being born again. All right, back to the Old Testament, 860 BC-ish. Elisha, he had a school of the prophets. What a funky school that would have been, eh? Much better than going to the schools when I was a lad, I'm sure. Okay, you would have seen all kinds of things going on at that school that you wouldn't see down at your local tech, etc. All right, so he had a school of the prophets. Prophets seemed to be popping up all over the place. It was just the anointing that was around at the time. You know, it had started with Elijah, gone on to Elisha, and he was teaching all these guys about the presence of God seen in the Spirit. And they were prophesying to kings left, right, and center. God says this is going to happen. God says that's going to happen. Giving warnings to people. And it was an awesome time to be around Elisha in those times. So there were seers here, seers there, seers jolly everywhere. All right. And hey, if there was prophets in those days, what about the days we are living in now? We're going to look at our second scripture now, Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, quoting the prophet Joel. Peter is preaching away in Jerusalem. He's praying for Jerusalem this morning, and Peter was preaching away in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and here's what he had to say, talking about the last days, which are also the days we are living in now. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So that means pretty much everybody, doesn't it? All right, there's no gender difference there. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit, even upon my servants, men and women alike. And they will prophesy. Okay, so we've got to be the kind of people that are prophesying, should we not be? Yes. So God, in his mercy and his benevolence, that's a big word for a Sunday morning, isn't it? Benevolence. All right, okay, that means kind and big-hearted. God is kind and big-hearted. All right, he didn't give us a smidge or a splash of the Holy Spirit. He poured out the Holy Spirit upon us through the gateway that Jesus has opened for us with his life, his death, and his resurrection. Okay, now God has poured out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh. So we can have the Spirit without measure because of what Jesus has done for us. How awesome is that? Thank you, Faye. Yeah, you may say that's all very nice, Steve, but all that spiritual stuff, how does that help me here and now in the life that I'm living day to day? It's a good question. It's a good question, okay? But it can make all the difference, is what I'm saying to you. Make all the difference. If we can have a God's eye view on our life, it can make all the difference. So here's a practical account of how God does things for people. We're going to go to have a look at a story that Elisha was involved in. Now, 2 Kings 6. Verse 8 through to 23, quite a few verses here, but this is a cracking event that took place way back when in Israel. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such a place." But immediately. Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and time again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is a traitor? Who has been informing the king of Israel of my plans?" "It is not us, my lord the king," one of the officers replied. "Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. How embarrassing is that?" "Okay, go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so I can send troops to seize him." And the report came back, "Elisha is at Dothan." So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army, just not a little one, but a great one, a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops and horses and chariots everywhere. That would have been very scary, wouldn't it? "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Don't be afraid," Elisha told him, "for there are more on our side than there are on theirs." Then Elisha prayed, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. How awesome would that be to see? Can you imagine all that fear and all that worry had suddenly drained away, and he's kind of like, wow. Okay, as the Aramean army advanced towards him, Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, please make them blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Then Elisha went out and told them, You've come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to the city of Samaria. As soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, now open their eyes and let them see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, "My father, should I kill them? Should I kill them?" "Of course not," Elisha replied. "Do we kill prisoners of war? Get them food and drink and send them home again to their master." So the king made a great feast for them and sent them home to their master. After that, the Aramean raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. Well, you would do, wouldn't you? You would do, wouldn't you? Okay, so there he is. Practical difference that seeing in the spirit can have for you. I mean, did that make a practical difference to the young man who was so afraid? Did it make a practical difference to the land of Israel that was being invaded? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. All right, so Elisha is doing stuff for God. Okay, it's not only benefiting him, but it's also benefiting the nation. He didn't always get thanks for it, but he did it anyway. So the message to us today is our lives have been transformed because people have done stuff for him that has blessed us. Okay, can you think of the times in the past, how many people have been a blessing to you? They were just doing stuff for God, and it was a blessing to you. All right, some of us wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for praying mamas. Yeah? Okay, some of us would still be in a mess if others hadn't have faithfully given God's love and his word to us over the days and over the years. Isn't it true? Okay. Do stuff for God. All right, I've got loads of people's spiritual handprints in my life that have blessed me down the years. I'm sure you have as well. You can think, yeah, there was that one. There was that Sunday school teacher. There was that parent. There was that person that was praying for me all those years, and they help shape your life. Okay, so Elisha saved the day for Israel time and time again. The king of Aram, he was called Ben-Hadad, and he was Ba'ad. Okay, sorry. He kept invading, but Elisha helped the Israelite king out. Okay, he didn't work for the CIA, just in case you were wondering. He didn't work for MI6 or Mossad. That's the Israeli intelligence, by the way. All right. He hadn't bugged the place or put in secret cameras or anything like that. God was revealing this to him. Okay. And yeah, his warnings, they made a practical difference. Anybody know what Bletchley was famous for in the Second World War? I see a few hands. I see that hand. Yeah, the Enigma code breakers. Yeah. Also, did you know we had a little place in Beaumont Manor in Leicestershire, up at Quorn? Okay, so Leicestershire did its bit. You know, it didn't get as much press maybe, but it's not just good for men's retreats. Those of you who came along, it's great for breaking codes as well. And yeah, so they were reading Hitler's mail and his war plans, and Hitler didn't know about it. Silly Billy that he was. Okay, and it's said that they significantly, but let's try that again, significantly helped the war effort. It helped us to win the war with cracking the codes, and then they was able to be strategic. They could outmaneuver the enemy. How cool is that? And God wants us to do that today, to outmaneuver the enemy. Okay. They could have done with Elisha, of course. Back in those days, it would have been a lot cheaper and a lot quicker. But hey, thank God for our code breakers. Right. So we have an enemy that is at war with you and your mind, giving you all kinds of misinformation. All right. Feeding you with threats, feeding you with intimidation. Okay, we need to get God's eyesight, get his perspective on things, you know, crack the code and see what the enemy is up to so that we can counter his strategies and counter his threats, counter his intimidation. Okay, the devil likes to tell you things like you're stupid, you're useless, you're no good, you're a bad Christian, you know, and yeah, he even sends people to oppose us. I mean, as far as I know, the king of Aram was a person, and so were the army. You know, they were sent to intimidate. They were sent to oppose God's people. But we can outmaneuver all of that nonsense if we can just see and listen to what God is saying to us. Listen for God telling us, no, that's not the truth. You know, he's speaking lies over your life. We can outmaneuver the enemy, because God will give us the strategy to be able to do so. Okay, God gives us the upper hand on the enemy. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Okay, it's the truth. Those negative thoughts that pop into your mind that contradict what God says about you in the Bible, you can bat those off when God speaks to you, said, no, this is the truth over your life. Okay, don't believe what it is that the enemy tries to say to you, or how he tries to intimidate. Okay, we will save ourselves a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety if we recognize that God is on our side. And there's more that is on our side than there is on the enemy's side. Let's not make the enemy bigger than he is. He is finite. God is infinite. Okay. Excellent. There are horses and chariots of fire all around us. You know, there's angels in this place. I believe that. We may not see it with our physical eyes, but the Bible tells us God sends his angels to us, to help us, to be with us. I could say that young man, that must have been pretty awesome when he suddenly saw the chariots and the horses of fire around the place. Wouldn't that have been an excellent place to be? He's gone, hey, no problem, no problem. Yeah, I think we're going to do all right here. Yeah. Okay, you know, you start to feel sorry for the poor old Arameans and old Ben-Hadad. All right, but we don't have to feel sorry for the devil. All right? Don't feel sorry for him. Okay, he works on fear and he works on intimidation. So you tell him to go and do one in the name of Jesus. All right. He's just very good at lying. He's been doing it for years. He's the father of lies, the Bible says. All All right, but he's got no power over us because Jesus has taken it away. He's ripped his claws out. He has no claws anymore. Okay. Yeah, he sends people to harass you, and your circumstances may seem intimidating. But with spiritual eyes, we see that God is working for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. All right? Okay. The Bible tells us we don't have to be afraid, even if there's a great army that is knocking on our door. How awesome is that? All right. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. God can blind the enemy concerning you. How cool is that? That's what the passage tells us. My first pastor, he says he didn't think that he blinded them literally, so they weren't kind of groping around in the dark like this, you know, but he blinded them to who Elisha was. So come and follow me. So yeah, they were following him, thinking, oh, this is great. We're getting a little guided tour. He's going to lead us straight to the prophet Elisha. And the next thing they know, they're in the capital city of Israel at that time, surrounded by who knows what, with all kinds of Israelites facing them. Who knows, they might have had arrows, spears pointing at them, and then he prays another prayer. This isn't looking so good for us right now. Can you imagine? Awesome. So yeah, God can blind the enemy concerning you. They were led into a trap. At the end of the story, they were glad just to get a good meal and get themselves back home as quick as possible. All right, who's to say that the people giving you grief right now, not long from now, might just be grateful to have a nice meal with you? Okay, not mess with you anymore. That's how God can turn things around. God's always turning things around. He's always turning things around. And the secret, what was Elisha's secret? It was prayer, okay? He wasn't just a, I'm going to pray in the morning type of guy. He was praying all the time. I'm sure he did pray in the morning, but, you know, he was praying all the time. We just get a glimpse of those three short prayers that he prays. Lord, open his eyes. Lord, make them blind. Lord, open their eyes again. So he's praying, and God answered his prayer. So be a prayerful person, you know. Pray about the people that are awkward in your life. Okay, and that prayer, it was practically helpful. Too right it was. The power of prayer changes people's perspective. All right, I was just talking with Sharon yesterday. She had a horrible boss once upon a time. Horrible so-and-so, shall we call him? He's horrible so-and-so. But he used to get a little bit scared because he knew that God was inside of Sharon. You make me nervous. He was a Scottish fella. You make me nervous, he would say to her. Because she had God inside of her, yeah? So, how many people know that Ben-Hadad, he was a bit of a difficult person, wasn't he? Kept invading the land, you know? But he came to fear the God of Israel. God turned the situation around. Can you imagine? I feel quite sorry for the soldiers reporting back to Ben-Hadad. So there they are. They march back to Aram. Ben-Hadad addresses them all. So, did you find Elisha? Yeah, we found him. So where is he then? Well, he took us for lunch. And a drink. And he's looking, he said, he's not here. So what happened then? I suppose you're going to tell me next that the king of Israel gave you a nice meal. He was the one that actually served you. How did you guess, O king? Do you know what I mean? Can you imagine that report back that they had to give to Ben-Hadad? God turns things around for us. All right, so here's the formula. Pray, treat your enemy nicely, and then they will leave you alone. Okay, suit yourself. All right, sure, they didn't deserve it, but we didn't deserve Jesus either, do we? Huh? Your enemy might not deserve you being nice to him, but hey, let's extend some grace because we've had grace extended to us. All right. So, yeah, sometimes when you're feeling down, sometimes when you got depression and you got hurt going on inside of you, you got bad circumstances going on, it can blind you to what God is doing around the place or can blind you to what God is doing in your life right at that time. And we're going to read another little story in a sec. The one about Cleopas and the other unnamed disciple who was on the road to Emmaus on Resurrection Sunday. So Jesus had died, and there all their hopes and dreams were shattered and smashed. And the stranger comes along, and they didn't realize that the person walking next to them was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he started to give them a Bible study. So yeah, let's have a look in Luke chapter 24, verse 28 through to 32. So by this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it's getting late." So he went home with them. As he sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. At that moment, he disappeared. I haven't finished yet, thank you. They said to each other, "It's all right, Keith, you're doing a cracking job. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us along the road and explained the scriptures to us?" What a great story that is, huh? They didn't realize that Jesus was with them all the time. And sometimes we don't realize that Jesus is with us wherever we are and whatever we're doing. God, where are you? What are you doing? He's there all the time. Suddenly, their eyes were open. Jesus reveals himself in the breaking of bread. We've heard that this morning, haven't we? Sometimes he reveals himself as healer. In the breaking of bread. Right. What was Jesus' strategy for their depressed state? He gave them some choice scriptures. Think about it. He gave them some choice scriptures that spoke into their situation. You know, we thought that this Jesus was going to be the Messiah. So Jesus starts to talk to them. Hey, didn't the Christ have to suffer? He gave them choice scriptures for their situation. And I don't suppose he had the parchments underneath his arm and kind of pulled them out and started to roll them out like that. He'd memorized them. Okay, so he'd got those scriptures into himself so we could pull them out to these fellas. Or it might have been a lady, I don't know. Cleopas and somebody else. Anyway, I'll let you off lightly. You can look the scriptures up. It's great nowadays. You can have it on your phone. You can have it on your iPad. You can have a nice little Gideon Bible. Anyway. Yeah, we've got the whole New Testament to remember as well. So, you know, we've got it a little bit harder nowadays, haven't we? You know, to memorize the whole of the Bible. Okay, so no matter if you're a young believer or an old believer, it doesn't matter if you're a novice or experienced in faith, God has a scripture for your situation. I believe that. All right, to cause your heart to burn and want more of his presence. Because stay tonight, would you? Stay tonight, this is good. You know, and to open your eyes that Jesus is present and with you in your situation all of the time. And that there's more that are on our side than there is on the enemy's side. I'm going to finish with another scripture now. In Ephesians chapter 1, a familiar verse to some of us, I'm sure. And again, this is St. Paul. He's writing to the Ephesian church. I keep on asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. That's you. You're the church. He's done that for us. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, okay. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, God, I want to thank you, Lord God, that you have revealed Jesus to us. I want to pray, Lord God, if any of us doesn't know Jesus yet, Lord God, that you'd reveal yourself to all of us, Lord God, that we'd realize that you are who you say you are, the Savior of the world, the one who died to take away all of our sin, all of our shame, all of the bad things we've done, and replace that with all of your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you've poured out your Spirit upon every single one of us so that we can have a full measure of all the goodness that you've got for us. And I pray that you're going to open our eyes for every circumstance, every situation that we find ourselves in. I want to pray, Lord, for everybody, Lord, who may be facing tough times, who may be facing difficult people, who may be facing whatever it is that we face, that Heavenly Father, we would know that you are with us in it all. I pray that you're going to open our eyes to see that you're working in that situation. You're working in those circumstances, and that God, that you can turn it around every time, that nothing is impossible for you. I want to thank you, Lord, that you've given us the upper hand over the enemy, Lord God, and he is indeed under our feet, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that you have given us the power that we need to overcome the enemy, that we can outmaneuver the enemy every single time, Lord God, because you've given us the strategy that we need to be able to do that. Thank you for the power of prayer. I pray, God, that we're going to use it. Thank you, Lord, for the power that there is in your word, for the scriptures that speak into our situation. We pray, Lord, you're going to quicken those to us time and time again so that we would know that, your word has an answer for absolutely everything. Thank you, God, for all of your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.